We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
When you read the book of Ephesians and you get into chapter 4, you'll find some interesting things that we as the church have that God has given us. And did you know your pastor is a gift from God? Well, we're going to talk about that today. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and we'll see how far we'll go. We don't know exactly how far we'll go, but we'll see. But Alex, you've been on the road. I want to apologize for yesterday. We had to play one of our pre-records because my world was spinning, is all I can say. I had a little inner ear trouble, and I appreciated Brent finding that. But where are you today, brother?
Well, I'm at the Denver Airport in Denver, Colorado, and I'm heading over to Arkansas. We've got a wonderful event this weekend at Boundless Grace Church with Pastor Josh Ramsey. I know many listeners in Rogers and Fayetteville, Arkansas will know where that is. But so this is one of those days, and we try not to do it often, but I'm on the road at an airport. So if it's noisy in the background, that's why.
Okay, well, we may hear somebody say, loading, last call for loading. And if that's you, I'll take care of the rest of the program, Alex, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, but we appreciate you. How things going, Colorado?
Well, going really good, going really good. Working on a summer camp that we've got. We'll be out here in July with one of our 7 summer youth camps.
Well, amen. They're going to be, so anybody going, it's west of the Mississippi, they have somewhere to go. They don't have to cross the river to come, right?
They have, well, 2 options, not only Colorado, but also Montana will be there this summer, too.
Oh, what part of Montana, man? I love Montana.
Do you know? I don't know.
Well, you've got Great Falls, but we have radio stations there as well. Great Falls, yes, we do. So those folks in Montana that are listening, be a great, great time if you go to one of those camps. So let's dig into God's Word. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 become very practical. What we learned in the first 3 chapters, what the church at Ephesus learned in the first 3 chapters is the relationship with Christ and what we have. And then we come to chapter 4. How does this work out in the church, among ourselves, and our witness to the world? Well, listen to this about what he gave. This is what Jesus has done for him when he ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, and then Holy Spirit gave gifts to men. Listen, and he himself, Jesus, gave some of to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. Now, if you've got a version that has "and" in there, the "and" is really not in the original language. It's pastor teacher, and it seems to be the same office, not 2 offices. Now, that doesn't take away from the small group leader or anything, but it tells us something about the pastor. He's to love the church, he's to care for the church, shepherd them, guide them, but he is also that teacher. So, Alex, God himself gave these gifts in establishing the church. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers, and notice this, and I want to read verse 12 and 13, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, again, if you have a version that has a comma after the equipping of the saints, I would call that a misplaced comma. He didn't give them for the equipping of the saints, so the saints all together could do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all have come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, Alex, God gave us what we need for us to operate in the world that we're living in today. He has given us what we need. We don't need to wait on anything else. He's given us what we need in that day in Ephesus, but also in 2024, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a beautiful structure the church is. And notice, I've always loved verse 12, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry or for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let me just say this. As much as we appreciate the work of good pastors, and a pastor is to preach and teach and minister and, yes, evangelize, but Bert, is it fair to say it's not really the pastor's job to fill up the pews, is it?
It really is not. You know, we're to feed the flock of God, and, you know, the best advertisement, you've always said and we've always heard, is a satisfied customer. So what the pastor should be is sharing the Word of God with the gifts that God's given him. He's given him his personality, and some people's personality may be kind of wild and crazy. People say that about me sometimes, and some people are a lot more subdued, and that's good. But it's not the personality. It is the Word of God being proclaimed and taught, Alex. Try not to let the personality of the speaker be as important. You know, if you're a charismatic preacher and you've got a lot of great stories, oh, that is so good, but they're not getting into the Word of God, that's not what God intended, is it? Okay, I'm not sure. Alex may have dropped off. There you are, Alex.
I'm here.
Did you hear what I was saying about the pastor? He's to feed the flock of God, isn't he?
Well, he really is. He really is. And that's why Paul would write to Timothy and say, preach the word. And, you know, we've talked about this many times, but that's how churches grow. I mean, you don't have to be just this dynamic personality. You don't have to do anything contrived. If you want your church to grow, I mean, there needs to be prayer, there needs to be outreach, but we need a pastor in that pulpit expounding the Word of God, and God will bless that, and the church will grow.
Now, let's talk about the word saints just a minute, Alex. If we're not careful, we'll think saints are on a higher level, and everybody else is beneath them because they got to be canonized and all that. But the saints come from the word, you know, it means hagios, it's hagios, which means made holy. It is all saints that are being sanctified. And it says, we are to be equipped. So the pastor, as much as anything else, is to equip the saints in the Word of God. Now, I think you can equip it two ways, by preaching and teaching, yes. But also, I would say this, Alex, if you agree, by example.
Well, yes. And may I add a third thing to that? By doing, by giving opportunity to use experience and service. I mean, a great part of ministry, experience and application.
Okay, we are really having a hard time with Alex's connection. We'll work on that and make sure. But we're talking about the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify means to build up. It means to strengthen along. It comes, you know, edify, to build up the body of Christ. It's all of it, every joint, every part, till we all come in the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith has the idea of coming to know Christ. Alex, unity.
Yes.
This is one of the hallmarks of chapter 4. It started out in verse 3, the unity of the Spirit. And now we hear this word repeated in verse 13, unity of the faith. You and I make a big deal out of that, and I think we should, because Paul made a big deal out of it, did he not?
Well, he did, and there's the faith, and there's the knowledge of the Son of God, and then maturity. Verse 14 says that we no longer be immature, no longer infants, but that we grow up into not only the truth of the gospel, but the one on whom the gospel is based. Jesus Christ himself.
And notice doctrine. This is what he spent so much in the book of Ephesians was on the teachings, the teaching concerning the Holy Spirit, the teaching concerning the church, even Jesus himself. And it was, don't be carried away to and fro. You'll hear new things coming. You'll hear somebody say, well, I've got something new. I doubt it. You know, there's not a lot new under the sun these days. And so it says, carried about with men. And it says, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Here's the word, deceive. Alex, one of the big things in the early church, and this is where it comes back, I think, to verse 11, he gave some apostles. That's why Jesus spent so much time with the apostles, that he would be able to send them out. And when you look at the record of where all the apostles that were following Christ went, they went north, south, east, west. They went in every direction. And here it is, so that they could train others, and that's talking about Timothy, godly men, training other godly men, that they may be able to teach others. And so here it is, do not be deceived. Go back, if you would, into verse 13 and connect this, if you would, Alex, the unity of the faith, and do not be deceived. You better know what you believe, hadn't you? Okay.
You know what you believe. Yeah, that's why, you know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer. And, you know, this Ephesians 4:13, talking about maturing in the faith. Listen, every Christian should know the basics of the gospel. Every Christian should know what are the core foundations of Christian orthodoxy. And, Bert, I think that we've suffered. In fact, this morning, I had the privilege, I was for 2 hours with a missionary from China. And I can't say a lot about it because it's hard for missionaries to be over there. But he said there are so many false teachings that one of the first things they do is to try to get new believers grounded in what is biblical truth so they won't be susceptible to being misled and misled by false teaching.
Hey, guess what? We need that in America. We desperately need this in America. That's why one of the reasons we do Exploring the Word. That's why Tim Wildman, our president, wanted us to do it. He still wants us to do it. He doesn't mind us commenting on the issues of the day, but he says, no, get into the Word of God because our people need to be grounded in the Word of God, and that's what he's asked us to do, and that's what you and I feel called to do on Exploring the Word. Now, notice verse 15. We're about to go to break in about a minute and a half, but speaking the truth in love. Now, let's divide that up. First, speak the truth. Now, we're to love one another. They'll know that we love one another by our love for one another. They'll know that. They'll know that we love one another. But it has to be based on truth. Connect truth, Alex, and you do this, and see, I think we have time. Connect truth with the unity of the faith. They better be connected, hadn't they?
Well, they should. And here's the beautiful thing about it is it's truth given by God. It's not anybody's opinion or preference. And Bert, I've often said that liberalism is love at the expense of truth, and legalism is truth at the expense of love.
Right.
When we have both, the Holy Spirit can use it in such a powerful way. Yes, we love people, but we are duty-bound before God to tell the biblical truth.
Now, what's going to happen is in verse 15, it says that they may grow. Now, that's what we want to talk about when we come back. We're talking about, are you growing in the Lord? Paul had a lot to say that in Corinthians. Whoever the writer of Hebrews was, they had a lot to say about it. And that's why, again, we want you to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back with more right after the break. Don't go away. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life. Yeah.
when a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
The praises don't stop. The devil's been dropped. Got some good news coming straight from the top. You saved me from the fire. Lifted me higher.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We are in Ephesians chapter 4. And before I pick up at that, I've got to say, Bert, how much I appreciate you and Brent and the people at AFR bearing with me as I'm going through the Denver airport. The funny thing, in that first segment, I was riding the bus from the rental car building over here to the terminal. And when I was about a year and a half ago, I was in LaGuardia Airport in New York City. I sat down beside an outlet and set up all the gear and did the radio. And I had easily 15, 16, 17 people gathered around me listening. It was like a curiosity. What is this guy in the airport doing radio? Well, on the bus, as I was talking, even though we had a little dropout a time or two, everybody on the bus got quiet. And in that first segment that you and I just did, we had about a dozen or more people on the rental car shuttle bus listening to Exploring the Word.
Amen. So, again, we think one of the best T-shirts, AFR sometimes does T-shirts, where has Alex broadcast from? And have a list of all these places. But Alex, appreciate you, man. It's fun. Well, let me just share, for Brent and myself, it's fun when you're in one of these places. We're saying, okay, man, Alex is there. And so we're enjoying it. I think our audience is enjoying it, too.
Well, it's worth it to improvise a little bit and more people hear the gospel. But, you know, in Ephesians 4, I've read this passage, Bert, and tried to, you know, meditate on it. Verse 14 says that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching or doctrine, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. I've shared this many times, but Bert, you know, one of those grocery store bags that is very, very, very thin plastic, you know, those kind of grocery store bags?
Yes.
They're essentially weightless. And one time out in the yard, the wind got hold of one of those, and I watched it going left and right, up and down. Because it was empty, it could be blown any way that the breeze went. And, of course, I went and got it and threw it away, but I've met people like that. And here, folks, this is why we say, yes, trust Christ and be saved, but grow and daily be in the Word, because you want to, as Ephesians 4:14 says, mature, not just be a newborn infant, but mature, so you won't be susceptible to every wind of idea and teaching. What is the source of it? Cunning and craftiness. See, God gave his revelation out of love and mercy that we might be saved. Satan and his minions put out falsehood by, as verse 14 says, craftiness to deceive people. And so we must be grounded and filled, not empty, but filled with God's truth, and we won't be tossed back and forth.
And this is the work of Satan. He is a great deceiver. He is a liar, and that's who it is. So when you see this trickery, when I see that word, I refer back even to Moses when he was called down to do some of the things he was in the 10 plagues, but also the snake, his rod becoming a snake, and the craftiness and what the trickery of the magicians in Egypt had learned. And it was, again, so what Satan always puts in is something that tries to look like something that will deceive you. And that's the whole idea, deception. But truth will overcome deception. So you stay with the truth. And then that's the reason it says, what, how do you overcome that? By speaking the truth in love. And then, Alex, let's get this next phrase in chapter verse 15. May grow up in how many things? All things.
All things.
Okay,
yes.
Listen, well, I'm mature here, but I'm not arrived. Well, have you ever heard the blind spots that you have in a vehicle? Now, I know cameras, with the modern uses of cameras, it takes away some of that, but not all of it. You better be careful when you get in a new vehicle. Learn those blind spots. Well, I want to just tell you, we as believers, and we can walk with the Lord for 20 years, 30 years, if you're not careful, those blind spots will go unnoticed by us, but others will see them. So you want to what? Grow in all things. Now, you don't want to leave any area out. You want to grow in your maturity, in the knowledge. You want to grow in your likeness to be like Jesus Christ. You want to grow in your service. You need to grow in the Lord to become all that who he wants you to be in all things into him who is the head, and that is Christ. He's talking about the body, and Jesus is the head of the church. And so then he goes into verse 16, from whom the body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we're to, here it is, and how much does this start with the unity of the faith? That's where it started in verse 13, the unity of the faith. And then if you look at the rest of the verses all the way down through verse 16, they let us know a little bit of what that unity is. That's what Paul's doing, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, that's true. It all does come, obviously, from the Lord, but also unity. And again, that unity is around God's revelation. You know, the Apostle Paul makes a lot of illustrations that are related to athletics. But here he's going to make an illustration that's related to the working of the human body, human physiology, really. Verse 16, from him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, Bert, I was visiting a shut-in who had a very, very severe neurological disorder, and we were praying for this person, and they just were, you know, kind of moving around, no motor skills. It's very sad what these diseases can do. But the doctor told the family member, said, you know, the brain is given the directives and the nervous system is firing these impulses, but the muscles and the limbs just aren't listening.
Oh, wow.
And the person was writhing about. But in a way, that's kind of like sometimes the body of Christ. Christ is the head. He does give the directives. And there's the Holy Spirit of God that speaks to the church and the believers. Maybe I could compare the Holy Spirit to the nervous system. But when the limbs and the muscles and the hands and the feet are doing something other than what God directs, the body of Christ is not progressing and winning the lost as we should.
And that is so true. Now, notice what it says in verse 16, by which every part does its share. Now, Alex,
Amen. Listen,
have you ever heard the 80-20 principle? 20% of the membership in the church does 80% of the work. Let me just use another biblical term. These things ought not to be. Brethren, these things ought not to be. We need to do our share. Now, let's talk about what all that means. That means in every area of life, financial. It also means in abilities. It also means in service. It also means in your witness. Let's do our share. And when we're invested our lives in that, I want to just tell you, Alex, it will, the whole body is in praise when one of the parts of the body does the work they're supposed to be doing. And this is what God has intended for the church. And that's why he spends some time on this, because the church was the mystery in the Old Testament. No, they didn't know about it. The Jew and the Gentile coming together in the Old Testament. Now, I'm reminding of those who've been listening of what we've been taught, but we may have some that missed it or knew what happened in the New Testament was the Gentile did not have to become Jewish in order to be a part of God's family. No, the Jew and the Gentile comes to Christ, and out of that relationship, the church is birthed and born through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when this church works together in that fashion and that work, it's a great joy to see the edifying that takes place where we build and encourage one another, isn't it?
It is. I'm sure everybody's heard that illustration. They said the church is kind of like a football game. You know, in a football game, 24 people are on the field doing the work while 30,000 people sit and watch, passively spectating. And sometimes the church is like that. But we say it a lot, you know, every believer, you have a role to play. You have spiritual giftedness and you have a place in the body of Christ. But 17 and following talks about how inactivity and the unwillingness or inability to follow Jesus and be a part of the church collective, it results in personal sin. Let me read this. Paul says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, to indulge in every kind of impurity, full of greed. That, however, says verse 20, is not the way of life you've learned in Christ. Bert, let's look at 17 through 19. The Gentiles is really kind of a euphemism for the lost world that doesn't know the true God. And their understanding was darkened because their heart and mind and soul was not full of God's truth and God's revelation. And therefore, into that vacuum of truth came any, as G.K. Chesterton would say, any insanity and delusion. And Bert, it's been said many ways that when there's an empty space, something will fill it. Bert, let me just say this, and I want your response. I look at our culture in the absence of the gospel, the church, the witness of Christ into this culture has come darkening and impurity and iniquity and indulgence and sin. It's true of an individual without Christ. It's true of a nation that's turned away from God.
That's exactly right, Alex. And notice what this starts out. It starts out in the futility of their mind. Now, again, what I've done this, and I think I saw this right. When you look at verses 12, or really 11 through 16, you have Paul describing the unity of the faith and what happens when you have the unity of the faith. This is what Christ does. And then what you have in 17 through 19 is the futility of the mind. You compare those together. Which one is best? And you've done a great job of introducing what the futility of the mind, their darkened understanding, alienated or separated from God because of ignorance, hardening their heart, their past feeling, having given themselves to lasciviousness, of uncleanliness with greediness. This is the futility of the mind. What the world does without Christ is futile. It's empty. It's cyclical. And what happens? Understanding darkened. And if I understand this correct and the way it's presented, Alex, and I want you to comment on it, it is growing more and more hard further away from God. The longer you stay away from God, the further you get away from Him, the further you go. No one is at the same level. It's like if you're not growing in Christ, you're backsliding. You just don't stay in the same place. You will drift further away from Christ if you're not going toward him. The futility of the mind, it gets what? Worse and worse. And that's what it says, something about the last days. What will happen in the last days? It will grow worse and worse. What is that? It's the futility of the mind, where the understanding is darkened, further alienated from God. The ignorance is multiplied. Their hearts are hardened. Alex, when you look at this in verses 17 through 19, you see the severity of what's going on in our world today, don't you?
You do. You really do. And, you know, Spurgeon said this, Charles Spurgeon. He said, the Christian life is like someone trying to climb a hill of ice. If you're not consistently climbing upward, you're going to be sliding backwards. And, Bert, this is really profound, but Spurgeon said in the Christian life, and I really think this is true in friendships, in your career, in your marriage, there's really no such thing as a plateau. I mean, if you're not being intentional, investing, committing, you're going to be drifting. Vance Havner said this, and I know we're near a break, but Vance Havner said that every day we are more and more becoming what we are. And somebody said, you know, what do you mean by that? He said, well, if you're not growing in Christ, you're growing in, you know, the flesh. I think Paul says this in Romans 7, but this is a call and a challenge that every one of us, and Bert, I'm going to say this. There are just some things about Christian growth that your pastor can't do for you. As much as we thank the Lord for pastors and leaders, the pastor can't give you a strong prayer life. You've got to work on that. The pastor can't get you in the scriptures alone to hear from God every day. We've got to do this. The fruits of the Spirit and learning how to show grace and how to, you know, love and forgive and be patient. These are just some parts of the Christian life we have to invest in for ourselves.
You can be given all the equipment, but you've got to use the equipment. According to what we've learned today, part of the pastor's job is to equip you, to give you the equipment to do the work of the ministry. But we are going to have to do that after we receive that equipment. That number, 888-589-8840.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper.
And I'm Bert.
If you're a pastor's wife, you know both the blessings and the unique challenges that come with the life you and your husband live daily. We call it living in the fishbowl.
The 2024 Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 22nd through 24th. This year's retreat will be at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee. As always, the Fishbowl Retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of American Family Radio and his wife Jan. Our special speaker will be Dr. Ray Pritchard, co-host of Today's Issues on AFR, and his wife, Marlene. Registration is open now and space is limited. Your registration fee of $400 per couple covers lodging, meals, and materials. Come get some much-needed encouragement at the Fishbowl Retreat. Learn more and register at repairingthefoundations.net. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Have we all gone mad? Have we lost our minds? Where it used to be wrong, we say that is right. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus.
Hey, what a statement. We need Jesus a lot. We do. I pray you know Christ as your Savior. If you're wondering and you don't know, we have friends that will help you at 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM, and they will talk with you. They'll pray with you. Make sure you're saved. And if you know you're not saved, they will lead you to come to know Christ. Alex, today's a big day at our household. It's my wife's birthday. So Jan may or may not be listening. It's according to where she is, but I want to wish my wife a happy birthday and just a great, great day for us. And so I wanted to do that. But let's go to the phone
line. Happy birthday, Jan Harper.
Amen. It is, and it's a good day. Let's go to the phone lines and go to Louisiana and talk to Jeanette. Jeanette, thank you for calling today.
Hi, Brother Burke and Brother Alex. I just want to say my comment is for people to be grateful and thankful each day and stop whining and complaining. And if whatever's God's will, if He take our loved ones, who are we to be angry and sad and mad? We should just be thankful that we still here. And then I just want to say about those young ladies in that program that comes on Saturday. They whine and they whine and they cry and they just want those babies. But they shouldn't be begging and whining for God to give them a baby. And when they die, you know, they just so all tore up. They need to just wait on God. Wait on God. I've been sick for 10 years with a fungus infection. My family ain't nobody come see me. Didn't know if I was dead or alive for at least 7 years. But God took care of me, and He fed me, and He clothed me.
Jeanette, thank you. God is that good to us. Now, I just want to share with you, I want to put a little bit of balance to this, Jeanette. And I'm not trying to call you down, but I think there was this lady in the Old Testament. She didn't have a child, and she was being mocked by the other lady in the house. And Hannah she did bring it to the Lord, but it was hurting and it was painful. And so, you know, and sometimes, yes, things are difficult and hard, and I don't want to complain, and I don't want to gripe either, and I want to trust the Lord. So that's what we do. But, Alex, when we're hurting and complaining, can God take it?
Yeah, you know, I think about Luke 18, where in Luke 18, the first part, a lady was going to a judge and begging to be heard. And I understand what the caller's saying about being grateful, but sometimes we just have to pray and take it to the Lord and trust God, don't we?
We really do. And Jeanette, thank you. And for those 7 years, wow, that's difficult and hard. And that's when AFR is, I think, just a valuable part to so many people. And we have people that are incarcerated and they're out by themselves, or they have small groups and they listen. And it helps to have that. So we want to praise the Lord for what God has done. Jeanette, thank you for that call. Let's go to William in Texas. William, thank you for calling.
Howdy. Thank you all, disciples, for your service. This is about, you know, someone being in hospice. I don't have a relative right now that's in one, but come November, we as a core family are going to see our sister Mary in Florida. Mom had to turn her over to the state several years ago. She's been blind since birth. She has, I can't say it's mental illness. She was never diagnosed with like Asperger's, but she's very smart. Anyway, I pray to God she doesn't end up in a hospice thing. I've heard about cats being in there, but is there a biblical answer to allowing someone to go home?
Okay.
Praying that the Lord would go ahead and take them.
Yeah, that's it, Alex. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. And Bert, there have been a lot of situations that we've ministered to families. In fact, just week before last. But we always really predicate it and say, Lord, your will be done. Because, do you know, that's one of the beautiful things about the Christian life. And I don't minimize the pain. It is not easy. Bert, you and I both have shepherded family members through illnesses and on to heaven. Even in suffering, and it's nothing that any one of us really desire, but we can learn and grow even in hard times of suffering, can't we?
We really can. And again, I was trying to think of somebody that was ready to go to be of the Lord. We find those that were not. Joshua, at 85 years old, he was still climbing mountains and killing giants, you know? And so God's got something for them. But let me give you this story real quick, and I share it quickly. I've shared it before. My wife's grandmother, was in the hospital here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and I was visiting her. And I went to see her, and she said, Bert, pray that I will get to go home. And so I prayed that she would get better, and I prayed, Lord, that you would heal her, send those doctors that need to give her the right medicine and medication. And when I got through, she said, that's not the home I'm talking about. I'm ready to go see Jesus. And so, you know, and it wasn't long after that. And how many times I've heard this happened, Alex, and I've heard it recently. Somebody was hanging on, and it looked like they were just, you know, ready to die, but wasn't doing it, you know. And they had loved ones that they were concerned about. And I've done it, and I've seen it done. And they'd say, Mom or grandmother, granddaddy, we're going to take care of that person you're concerned about. You can go in peace. And I've seen it happen many times that that person just die and go into peace. Go in peace, Alex.
Yeah.
So I think you can release someone. Let me use it that word. If you've got someone in hospice and they're struggling and you don't know, and you know they've got concerns and you can do something about that and say, I'll take care of that, give them that so that they can leave in peace. I believe that really happens a lot, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Our times are in his hands.
They are. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'll have time for a call or two because Randall is the last one we have in the queue, so you can get your name in there next. Randall, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word. Go ahead.
I believe in the Bible, and I believe more and more if you don't have the Bible and the Holy Spirit working, you're sunk. The emotions that are around you can engross you and even give you false impressions of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't look to the Lord and look to the scripture and hold on to it, these little side things that kind of get you in emotional mode can derail you.
They really can.
The only way you can rot them out is prayer, sanctification, submitting to the God that is there, and even if you don't know what's right, he said, if you choose to do his will, you'll know what it is.
Amen,
so
Randall.
Sort of on a, so it's like you have all the freedom to do it, but you do have to recognize that you must be more pure and pure and pure, and only Jesus can do that. So that comes down to you can do nothing but for me.
Well, Randall, what we're going to study more tomorrow in Ephesians is the things you need to put off and the things you need to put on. That's what he cares for the rest of the chapter here in Ephesians 4. He'll say, put off those things that you were talking about and put on Christ. Put it on. Let him have it all. And so that's exactly what we want to do. We want to put on Christ and let him be seen and heard. And Alex, when we do that, we can fulfill his purpose. And I want to say something about the Bible that he talked about in a minute, but go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking as the caller spoke, there is a conviction of the Holy Spirit that is of God. And part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is, you know, if we've done wrong and we need to repent, the Spirit of God will convict us of that. Maybe if it was something we should have done, but we didn't do, the Holy Spirit can convict us. But I've met people that suffered under Bert, what I would call false guilt.
Yes.
And let me just say, folks, every now and then Christians can kind of beat themselves up that it's a condemnation and a shame that's not of God. Bert, I was counseling, this was last year, with a couple, and this particular lady, godly, godly Christian lady, but she said, you know, you're out there preaching, and I've never done anything for the Lord. She said, I was just married, stayed home, raised the kids, ministered to my husband, served on some committees. I said, ma'am, listen, it sounds to me like you've really done your part and maybe then some. And I want to be careful, and Bert, you take it away. But yeah, we're supposed to obey. We're supposed to give the Lord our best. But don't let Satan put you under a guilt trip that's unnecessary. And when you read the word, you understand, I guess, what Billy Graham would have called the balanced Christian life.
Amen.
It's got You know, we don't want to walk around under a burden of false guilt.
Amen. Satan, we've talked about him. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he is an accuser of the brethren. You remember that term? And yeah. He wants to put you on a false guilt. Let me say one more thing about Randall. He's talking about the Word of God. That's why we pray for Bible translators, because we've got believers all over the world. We also have those people that are trying to get Bibles into their language. They're saved, but they do not have the Bible in their language. They've heard the missionary, they've heard others, but they're not able to take that Bible home with them the way we do. So that's an awesome ministry to get the Bible into the hands of believers everywhere. It really helps. Thank you, Randall. Let's go to Georgia. Brandon, thank you for calling.
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you.
I was just curious about when Jesus was on the cross, he told one of the others that was hanging up there with him that he would be in paradise with him today. And I was just curious as how he was going to be in paradise with him today when Jesus didn't raise to the Lord till sometimes later.
Okay, Alex, we went over this a little bit because we're in the book of Ephesians. Would you do that in a kind of a two-minute period of time? Do your best.
Yeah, like the 2 Corinthians 5:8, where Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, even prior to Calvary's cross, the Old Testament saints, that as Habakkuk says, they were justified by their faith in the Messiah that would come. Abraham believed God. He was righteous. David and Samuel, all those, they were instantly in heaven when they died. Now, Christ, in the unseen realm, after he died on the cross, and yet before he raised on Sunday morning, he appeared before the Father. He presented that the sacrifice was done. But yes, that they call it the penitent thief, the believing thief. When he died on Calvary next to the Lord himself, seconds later, he was in the presence of God in heaven. Would you agree, Bert?
Well, he was at a place that I would say paradise or Abraham's bosom, and then Jesus said that captivity captive into heaven. But I would say this, wherever Jesus is, that's a heaven right there. But yes, Amen. He was with him that very day. Alex, great. Thank you, Brandon. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Paul. Paul, thank you for calling.
Thank you. So I know, you know, religion and politics are always two things the Bible kind of goes back and forth on, but Ecclesiastes 10:2 just kind of says it for me when people ask, says the heart of the wise leans to the right and the heart of the fool to the left. Thank you.
Yes. You know, I've read that, and I know that when that was written in Ecclesiastes, it wasn't talking about political conservatism versus political leftism. But, Bert, that's believe it or not, that's called presentism. That's taking an ancient scripture and spinning it in light of our present situation. But the caller's point is well taken. I know it's the wise and true is the path we're supposed to go, isn't it?
It is. Now listen to verse 3, because it really amplifies that, not in necessarily political terms, but it says, even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. Okay? Mm. And he shows everyone that he is a fool. In other words, it's going to be revealed. And so it's going to be, there's here more than anything else, there's a separation between that. Okay, we're going to go to, Joey.
July.
Joey, you got about 20 seconds. Go ahead, and you'll try to give an answer, brother.
What's the best thing I can read right now to kind of help find the Lord's will as far as career change and just providing for my family?
Okay, listen. You pray hard, you read the scriptures, you got to bloom where you planted, Alex, okay? And then see what happens while you're doing the work that you're doing. Go ahead.
Well, you know, a great book on this is by Gary Friesen called Decision Making and the Will of God. And Friesen basically says that the will of God for your life is to become more and more Christ-like as a believer. I would say this. I mean, that's as good a book as any on finding the will of God. But it really, if you need a job, pray and ask God for it. If you're Matthew 6:33, seeking the will of God and following it, he'll make all those other things come together. I firmly believe that, Bert.
I do too. Well, Alex, what time's your flight leave? Pretty soon?
Yeah, in about 45 minutes. So thanks, guys. And tomorrow I'll be in my home studio.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Then you head to Arkansas. Guy, man, you're traveling, Alex, on the road.
Well, telling people about Jesus.
Amen. Well, we want to pray for Alex and his safety, and he and will be in Arkansas. Looking forward to that. All you people in Arkansas, look that up on alexmcfarland.com. Find out where he is, what time it'll be there, and if you can, be there and meet him. You'll be blessed. Tomorrow we'll be in Ephesians, so don't miss it here on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.